Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We'll talk about being confident in God's work. And we can be confident in God. You may not be confident in everything that everybody does, but you can be in what God says. And so, let's just concentrate on that today, confident in God's work. And the writer here, to be the Apostle Paul, he'd preached to the church of Philippi, and God had birthed a church in that place, and great church, good church, powerful church, and that's the place where Paul and Silas sang praises to God when they were in prison. Can you imagine that? Paul and Silas in prison, their feet and hands locked in stocks and bonds, and they were uncomfortable, no doubt. And so Paul looks at Silas and says, "Let's sing." And they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly all their chains and fell off, and God delivered them, and a church would be born there, and a congregation of people that would serve, love, and live for God in a place where the Romans ruled. Well, let's notice the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1. Paul writes his letter here to the people in Philippi. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, or for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In the 23rd verse of the same chapter, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith." Father, I pray your blessings upon the ministry of the Word of God today, that you'd encourage the heart and the life. Talk to the heart of people as only you can do. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Confident in God's work. And I'm glad that we can be confident in God that never changes. And whatever he says, we can certainly believe that he means it. And so the church was established here at Philippi, and there's some of the great messages come out of the book of Philippians. Some of the great encouraging words come from there. It was born in persecution. It endured persecution. It was established. Amen. They even had policies and places in the church. They had bishops and deacons there. Okay? Heard of one church that had 75 deacons. Somebody said they were deacon possessed. Anyway, not this church. So, confident in God's work. I'm thankful for God's work and God's will, God's purpose. But how do you view the word confidence? But just ask yourself, think about it for a moment. Of course, our text is taken from the sixth verse, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. How do you view confidence? Confidence is the feeling that one can rely on someone or something in a firm trust, or having faith in something. And we can have faith in God. We can have confidence in God that what he said, he will bring it to pass. You know, Jesus never failed. He was confident to the end that he would fulfill the plan of redemption for humanity, if he knew it meant going to the cross, and he knew that's what it meant. But he was confident that one day there would be opportunity for whosoever will to receive the gospel and be saved and not be lost. So we have a feeling today, a belief, a confidence that God has plans, God has a purpose for us in his life. Okay? And the writer here, the Apostle Paul, he could have confidence, and though he was in chains, this is a prison epistle. This is not the same place that he and Silas were in, the same place, yes, but different time. And so it says here that he was in chains, that he was bound. But Paul had confidence that this was temporary and not eternal. If we can understand that, friend, today, that whatever you may be going through, whatever you face or will face, it's temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. But if you have faith in God, God is eternal. We have great eternal promises given to you and I. You know, we've talked to people, we hope it's not, we hope things that we hear on the news is not eternal. They're not. But I tell you, God is eternal, and what God does is eternal. His work is eternal. His plans are eternal. He loves you, and his love for you is eternal. Nothing between life and death can separate us from the love of God. God's love is eternal. He loves you. Praise the Lord. So the writer here, Paul, could say this. He had confidence even though he was in chains. He was bound. It was not a wonderful prison. He didn't have color TV, the heavy TV, period. But confidence that the end of his physical life was near, but his eternal life was quickly approaching. Paul knew he would die a martyr's death. He would give his life. He would not deny Christ. But entering heaven with Jesus is the blessed hope of every believer. You know, we can get so carnally and materially minded that we forget the eternal. And some people talk about heaven so much they don't take care of things down here. But God has given us an eternal hope. Praise the Lord for that. And God's grace is wonderful, and God's grace is sufficient for you no matter what. I'm thankful for grace. Grace is God's favor. Aren't you glad that God looked upon you with favor instead of rejection? I'm glad that he did. Amen. The book of Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from every lawless deed." Tell you, we have a lot to look forward to. You know what grace teaches here? Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It's what grace teaches. Praise the Lord. And so Paul had confidence that this life was temporary. He would suffer many things. He'd been in prison a long time. And you say, well, you know, I've suffered for Christ. Not in comparison with Paul. He had been beaten with rods 3 times. He had been stoned once and left for dead. God healed him. He was shipwrecked a few times. And yet God preserved him. Matter of fact, he had to tread water day and night for one time to stay alive. But God was with him. Amen. And so how could a guy like that have confidence that had been through so much? Tell you, friend, he had his eyes on the eternal instead of the temporary. And he wanted to live for Jesus and proclaim Christ no matter what. If we look in the New Testament, we find that blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside. And he was blind, and his only hope was to beg enough for somebody to give him enough money to eat on that day. He was a beggar. He couldn't see, and nothing could be done about his hopelessness, his bitterness, and his blindness until Jesus passed by. And when he heard that Jesus was coming, couldn't see, but he could hear, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So, in some sense, we find that he had recognized Jesus as of the lineage of David, from which would come kings. And he said, "I believe you're the son of David." He didn't believe that Jesus was just a great teacher,
a person had was a religious person that had a lot of good ideas. He said, son of David, because that was prophesied in the Old Testament. He was confident that something could be done about his blindness, something could be done about his hopelessness, something could be done about his inability to live and to move and make a living on his own. My friend, aren't you glad that we have a God that gives hope, that is hope, that loves hope, amen, that gives us hope, amen, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Romans 5:5, praise the Lord. So Jesus walks by blind Bartimaeus, and surely he was confident that God, that just Jesus he had heard about, could do something about his blind condition. He wanted to see. He wanted to be normal. He wanted to follow Jesus, and he did right after he was healed. He was confident and said, just if I can just get to Jesus, I know he's passing. If I can just get to Jesus, I know he's passing by here. I got to get his attention. People to warn him told him he needed to be quiet. He called out all the more. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David. I need you. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said, Master, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus healed him immediately. And the Bible says he followed Jesus in the way. He didn't just get healed. He made the decision right there to follow Jesus. Amen. We have to be confident God can give you whatever you need for life today. And the Bible is not just about good things that God did for people then. God does good things for people now. God doesn't change from being good to being not good. God is good forever. Amen. He's good to you. He's good to me. Amen. He's good in the sense that he's given us two legs to walk in. He's given us feet to walk in. He's given us air to breathe. He's given us the next heartbeat. The next time that we see, he's the gift of God. The next time we hear, it's a gift of God. God has given us all so much more. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This God that we serve is good, I can tell you, friend. He is good all the time. So we can have confidence in the fact that God is good. We can be confident of God's work in us. The writer here, he is confident of God's work in him. Because it was God's work. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me. And God began a good work in the Apostle Paul, the writer. And the Apostle Paul wasn't always a good guy. As a matter of fact, he persecuted the church at one time. Amen. And he persecuted believers, and he was on his way to Damascus to imprison and bring people back that believed in Christ, because you see, as a whole, the Jewish community did not accept Jesus as the Son of God. That took time. And Paul was one of those until he was converted. But on the Damascus road, the Bible said a light shone bright from heaven. And he fell on the ground, and he heard a voice speaking with him. And Paul said, who are you, Lord? Jesus spoke audibly to him and said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And immediately, Paul did not want to go get people from Damascus and take them back and put them in prison for being a Christian. And Jesus said, I want you to go into Damascus, and there will be a man by the name of Ananias, and he will tell you what you ought to do, and you go to his house, and you will receive your sight back. That was after 3 days of being blind. And he said, then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll begin to preach and minister to people and begin to minister the gospel you once persecuted. And so confident the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you. Now, God wouldn't finish with Paul on the Damascus road. He would follow Jesus all the days of his life. He would preach the gospel wherever he went. And when he was stoned and left for dead, it wasn't too long. The disciples came around and prayed for him. God healed him. He got up and started preaching again. But we can be confident in the work of God began in us. He saved us. We can be confident in his love, confident in his word, confident to face whatever life may bring. My friend, you're not alone. God is with you always. Amen. Confident that God's work is a continual work. God doesn't say, I'm through with you. I've been put up with you for 10 days or 10 years. God doesn't say, I'm through with you now. I don't need you anymore. God never needed us. God wants us. God loves us, my friend. You can have confidence that God has eternal plans for you even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. We find places where people had to be confident in God. We find in the book of Daniel that Daniel was threatened, said, if you pray to any other god except the head guy here in Babylon, then you'll be thrown into the lion's den. And so we find that he thought about it, probably not very long. But Daniel, as was his custom, and usually he's opened his window toward Jerusalem. Here he was in Babylonian captivity, but toward Jerusalem, where he knew the temple of God was. And three times a day he presented his prayer to God. And on the day he was threatened, if he prayed to any other god except the Roman emperor, that he would be killed, fed to the lions. Yet he prayed because he had confidence that whatever happened, God was in charge. And we know that back then that was one means of execution, to be thrown to lion in the lion's den. And these lions were starved for several days by the owners so that they would be very hungry and willing to attack and ready to eat anything. And so it was after this, and Daniel, he violated the king's command, and he prayed to the God of Jerusalem three times a day. And he was thrown in the lion's den to be devoured by the lions. But they weren't able to devour him because his confidence was in God that's more powerful, more powerful, all present. And his confidence was in God. It wasn't that he had great faith or more faith than anybody else. He just trusted God and knew God and loved God and served God faithfully to the end. If this was God's way of taking him out, he's ready to go to heaven. He knew that God had far better things for him and taken him to a far better place. And so he knew who God was, and he lived in obedience. He had confidence that whatever happened, God was in charge. Hallelujah. And can't leave this out. Daniel had three buddies, three Hebrew children. And these three Hebrews, they were also threatened if they didn't sing the songs of Babylon and they didn't worship the gods of Babylon, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. They knew this would happen. And the king said, is it true that you didn't bow and sing to my gods? Hebrew children said, it's true. They said, if God chooses, he's able to deliver us in the fire furnace. But if he doesn't, let it known, I will not bow down to your gods. They knew the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments, was against any kind of idolatry. Have no other gods before me. Not make any graven image. And so they didn't bow. And the king was angry. He got some of his mighty men to throw them into the fiery furnace and the clothes on and everything and throw them into the midst of the fire. And the fire was so hot that it burned up the people that threw them in. When the king looked and said, didn't we just throw three men into that furnace? They said, true, O king. He said, how is it that I see four men? They're loose and they're walking around. They didn't burn up. You see, the Hebrew children were confident that whatever happened, God was able to deliver us. And he did deliver them. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. They were God's people. And that they could have confidence that whatever life offered, in life or in death, they belonged to God. They had confidence in God. And so, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. That means that God doesn't have to do anything. You may have a lot of things undone at your house. Don't look at your companion. That you hadn't finished. But God promises a finished work in us. Jesus didn't halfway do the plan of redemption. He finished the work on Calvary, finished by dying and taking the punishment for our sins. We know he rose again the third day, but yet he didn't stop short. He was confident that you and I would be saved and be worshiping him today. And countless others have been saved, born again of God's Spirit. He paid the price. He was confident. He saw it to completion. He was confident to the day that he could say, I don't like much. I think I'll give up now. I think Jesus said, it is finished. Complete unto the work of the day. Begun a good work in you, and you'll see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. And here the writer, Paul, was bound with chains. Verse 7 says he was. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Okay? And so we know that the chains had him bound, but God had something better for him. And he said to the church here, he said, I have a desire to part. I have a need here to stay here with you, to help you, to walk you along this Christian life. In verse 23, he says, "For I am hard pressed between the two." That is to stay here and work with you and help you on your Christian life. But I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Wow. And so he knew that to be with Christ, what was ahead was far better. In prison for his faith is, confident in God's work, confident that what God started, God completed, and far better than the chains that had him bound. And for us, far better than war, far better than famine, far better than a world that's full of war, full of strife, full of every evil thing that you can think of. And we hear a lot of them today. But I want to tell you something, friend. God has a thing for you that's far better. He has a far better eternity for you. He has something far better than what you're going through right now. He has something far better than grief and pain and sorrow and regret. God has something that's much greater than you. And so if we part from this life, if something happens today, amen, if you don't make it all the way home, but if you have Christ in your heart, you're departing for something that is far better. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:16 here, same book. It's to your right, one page. It mentions the day of Christ here. Philippians 2:16. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul is saying here, I'm going to hold on to this gospel and live for God. So at the end, I'll know that this hadn't been in vain. And we look to what is far better. It'll tell us whatever we've done down here, whatever discouragement or depression we had, God has something far better. God has something perfect for us. Amen. So I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul said, all the work that I've put into establishing this church here in Corinth or in Philippi, he said, I want to know that I hadn't done this in vain. But I've done something that's far better, not labored in vain. You see, Christ's work is complete in us. He completed the work of redemption at the cross. He completely forgave us. He completely cleansed us. You say, well, I know some folks that need to be clean more. Yeah. God knows better than you. So he's able to forgive us. He completely cleansed us. He completely keeps us. He completely walked with us. Completely assure us that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will finish it. He'll see it to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. My friend, we can be confident in God's work. Amen.